Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the June 16 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Chip Nillinger from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Darren Newsom of DTN, the Progressive Farmer, out of Omaha, Nebraska. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online anytime at willag.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Let's begin, as usual, with a list of items we should discuss for today. I think I'll start with you, Pete Manhart.
Weather, hot, cold, moisture. When are the funds going to decide which way to go?
And Chip Nillinger?
Yeah, I think weather first and foremost. What do we do now with all this volatility? And the outside markets are going to start being and have been a big influence lately as well.
Wayne Nelson.
Well, I think the one thing is going to be is what numbers are going to be bullish or bearish for the June 30th report? I mean, how many acres of beans does it take to say we've rallied enough or not that way? So I think the acreage report.
And Darren Newsom.
Yeah, these are all great these are all great points. Obviously, you know, we're in the weather market. We got to certainly watch the funds. And yeah, hanging over our head is the June 30th report. Before we get there, what's the Brexit vote going to do to markets in general, including the grain commodities?
Well, let's start with that since you bring it up. Brexit vote, which would be the UK voting to leave the European Union. What will happen and how soon will we know?
Elections next week. We're already getting notifications here in the newsroom that the anticipation is it's going to be one of the most volatile 24-hour periods that the markets have seen in quite some time. And, you know, they're looking at global financial markets, certainly global currency markets. And, when global currency markets start to move, it's certainly going to affect the U.S. dollar index. And then the ripple effect from that obviously goes off into the safe haven of gold, crude oil. And it can reach into the commodities because, as Pete pointed out, you know, the funds have played a big role. They've played a huge role in what's gone on in the grain so far. So, you know, if we see increased volatility forcing liquidation, you know, for no fundamental reason whatsoever, you can throw fundamentals out, we could see huge changes possibly coming down the road here before we even get to June 30th in the grain markets.
Should those who live in the UK vote to leave the European Union, what's the expected impact on the commodity markets?
My initial thought would be we would see the euro fall apart more so than it already has. And if the euro falls apart, money's going to go somewhere, most likely to gold, which would be supported, and we'd see that oddity of gold and the U.S. dollar index rallying at the same time. On the other hand, what could happen, I mean, in conjunction with that, what could happen, we've seen a little bit of a hint of it today, increased pressure on the crude oil market and some others, you know, starting to show some signs of slippage as well. Maybe we start to see some liquidation of this large soybean position that's been built up over the last couple of months, possibly even leaking over into the corn market.
Let's turn our attention from that to acreage, and I want to stay with you for just a second, Darren Newsom. Have you thought about all the acreage that is available to be planted in the U.S.? There are some missing acres still as of the March 31 report. Will they show up in June?
You know, when I need to brighten my day and kind of lighten the mood a little bit, I think of the June 30th acreage report because it gives me a good laugh. it doesn't mean anything. I mean, we're going to see these adjustments going on now. What was it, January's quote-unquote final report? We were still seeing acreage adjustments in these things. So, I mean, what could we see? Could we see a million-acre switch? Sure. Could we see no switch? Sure. Anything's possible. But in the end,
it doesn't mean
anything. Change anything. Exactly.
It doesn't mean anything in the end. However, the market...
But in between, you can make it go all over the place.
Yeah, you're going to have about 10 seconds, maybe up to 5 minutes worth of market activity based on those acreage numbers, and the attention's going to turn right back to weather.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. Then we come back to weather. Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, I know you've been watching this, and of course we take it up every day during the closing market report. We have five different meteorologists on. Everybody is very concerned. The crop looks good. Ratings have been fantastic, at least as of last Monday, across the whole of the United States.
Yeah, and I think they're destined to go down if you're in an area that didn't get rain this week. Some areas were lucky enough to catch a rain. I've heard as much as an inch and a half, 1.6 inches, parts of northern Illinois, parts of central northern Indiana had some good rains. If you caught those, you're feeling a lot better about life right now. However, the majority of the Corn Belt didn't get those. It's been pretty darn hot, and I'm not a meteorologist, but as I read it today, well, that 6 to 10 day forecast still is pretty dry and pretty warm. So, you know, back to your acreage issue, to put it in perspective a little bit, you know, a million acres, one way or the other, in corn is what, 165, 170 million bushels. Whereas, you know, another 2 weeks of heat, you're going to be talking about a lot bigger swing one way or the other, whether we get rain or we don't, on final yield. So, it's impossible to predict. That's the hard part about these markets. It's hard enough kind of staying on top of the markets as it is, but you throw in the weather and the changing weather models, and this thing's going to get to be a pretty bumpy roller coaster ride.
Wayne Nelson, my read of what farmers have been doing, and maybe you can tell me if you think something is different than this, is that they have decided, at least for corn, when a new crop hit $4 cash and above, they began marketing last week and this week. Is this the right thing to do?
Oh, I think so. If they haven't marketed a lot before then, it's back to the point where they can make some money. I think that the one thing we have seen as much as anything is they've over-marketed beans in comparison early as to what they did the corn. They sat on their hands before they sold much corn, but they started with beans anywhere above 920. Cash all the way up through, and a lot of beans, a lot of guys were at 40 to 50% sold, or even 40 bushels by the time they got to $10. And they're sitting back on their hands now saying, whoa, I sold too much too fast. And they really held up on the corn. But I think the corn up here, I think it's going to be, we've got a lot of DDGs that come into the market for feed. We've got a lot of feed wheat out there. So, you know, just the corn going to $5 is a lot more elusive than what it might seem.
Pete Manhart, what are you telling producers when they call in, or more likely, what are they telling you about their crops at this point?
Well, in general, in central Illinois and everywhere I've talked to today, including Iowa, northern Illinois, southern Illinois, southern Indiana, a lot of people, more than I expected, got 1 to 4 inches of rain. Around here we had 2 to 4 tenths, but a lot of people got nothing. But I had many farmers tell me 2 to 3 inches, and they were looking great, as good as they've ever looked. And that was surprising to me that many got that much rain. I've been telling them, you know, especially as we get here close to we were above 11 on cash beans this week a couple of days. We aren't here at the end of the day, but I think they got to be ready to sell if they haven't. If they've sold too much, they got to maybe replace it. And I think the weather factor today, where they said it's going to be cooler, but they didn't look at that they took most of the moisture out of the forecast, will come back to haunt them, and I think we'll have another run-up before we get through with this.
Darren Newsom, during the closing market report on Thursday afternoon, T-Storm Weather's Mike Tenora told us about 20% of the corn production stretching from Kansas through Missouri, maybe southern Iowa, into Bloomington, Illinois, was at risk, at least at this point, under some drier conditions. Does that assessment square with what you've been hearing?
You know, probably. Don't pay a lot of attention to the fundamentals, because at this point, you know, as was pointed out earlier, I mean, anything could happen. We don't have any idea. But if we just, you know, if we look at the market signals themselves, what are they telling us? You know, yeah, I mean, I know the farmers are getting excited, and we've seen the increased selling. But if we take a step back and we look at the long-term trends, futures, cash, both corn and soybeans, everything's going up. And so, you know, I know we've seen a lot of selling and we've seen a lot of early selling. Is it weather-related? Is it related to the fact that Brazil's supply and demand situation is incredibly tight in corn and expected to get even more so in soybeans over the coming year? Is it the fact that world demand, global demand continues to go up, the uncertainty of global currencies? Is it all of these things? Is it none of these things? Do we have any idea? And the answer is no. Bottom line is markets keep going up. Fund money keeps coming in. Brexit could change this. Direction of the U.S. dollar could change this. Fundamentals aren't likely to change at this point. Weather's going to be what it is. We'll have to go from there. But right now, it looks like things want to continue to go higher.
Darren, a quick question. Brexit. They vote to secede from the union. What does that do to corn and bean prices?
I think the risk is to corn and beans that we see them come down. I want to throw a little asterisk on that. I think from a hedge, from an investment point of view, that's where the pressure could come from. And we could see, you know, again, if we look at what the non-commercials have done, you know, this switch of positions that they've gone through from being net short in soybeans up to the largest net long they've had since July of 2012, this creates a situation where it could be a little top-heavy, and, you know, investors do not like uncertainty, and Brexit's going to cause uncertainty. So if the euro starts to fall and the dollar starts to strengthen, the immediate knee-jerk reaction could be to put pressure on both corn and soybeans. On the flip side of that coin, though, once that dies out, the reality of the situation is that we're getting back to global ending stocks to use in soybeans tighter than it was when we were in the heat of the drought between 2010 and 2012, Brazil basically running out of soybeans, Chinese demand continuing to go up, and looking for some soybeans in the market. So long term, I don't think it's going to have a huge effect, but the knee-jerk reaction, I think, could be to put pressure on both corn and beans.
You laid out a way for soybeans to move higher, and it is a fundamentally based way on the global stocks. Of course, there is a big difference for corn, and that's simply that the United States and South America, Argentina, Brazil, or North America, South America, have roughly the same size soybean crop. So every 6 months, there's a crop coming on there. The United States still dominates the world in corn production. Can you lay out some reasons that you're thinking about in that marketplace?
Yeah, the corn market is one of those anomalies. It's kind of like crude oil. Trying to build a bullish fundamental argument in corn is very hard to do. You have to use very broad strokes, very bright paint to kind of blind people a little bit so they can't really tell what you're doing. But technically, this corn market is very bullish. And if we look at the forward curve of corn, it's bullish. So why is that? I mean, we're being told nothing but bearish numbers, bearish numbers. We go back to the March 31st quarterly stocks number for corn. That was one of the most bearish numbers that we've seen. Okay, so we bring in the acreage number in May, also in March 31st and again in May. Bearish numbers, in June, whatever the first report was. But what do? We saw created on the long-term charts even increasingly bullish technical signals. There's more money coming into this, so somebody doesn't believe something. So if we're going to make up some fundamentals, and let's do that, number one, Brazil's corn situation is incredibly tight. Number two, we've got plenty to move. And maybe, just maybe, we didn't actually have the production that we had last year. So I think in this next January report, we'll probably see the 2015 crop reduced even more. I think we'll see some of that numbers cut away. And I think the real numbers that are going to be interesting here at June 30th is going to be the quarterly stocks, because what that projects forward to ending stocks at the end of the next quarter. It'll be particularly interesting to see where corn comes in. If we've actually seen more demand over this third quarter than what was projected or what normally happens, then I think that would give a fundamental reason as to why we've seen the futures spreads tighten up. Basis has held together relatively well while the futures market has rallied.
Chip, can I ask you a question about China as it relates to their acreage and their grain stocks? They've been auctioning off corn that they have in stocks. They're expected to do even more, I think, by the time we get to the harvest time. However, in the same process, they have encouraged producers there to plant something other than corn. They have the second largest crop on the planet. They have been planting better genetics. Might this have an impact on the world and marketplace?
Yeah, I think definitely. China has and raises massive crops, but for the most part, they're used internally. So small changes in that production mix can have dramatic effects. And I think they've proven in the past, it hasn't been that long ago, but they've proven in the past, if they're short on something, they'll buy it, they'll import it. Whether it's pork, beef, corn, wheat, if they need it, they'll get it from somewhere in the world. So I think that's always an underlying factor is from a demand perspective. And I'll back up a step and kind of add on to what was said before. The other big change is look at demand. I mean, in February and March, everybody was all bearish on demand. There was all these stocks in the world. We're going to feed more wheat. Well, look what's happened in the last 5 months. Exports are incredible. The ethanol grind is really good. We've seen shrinking stocks everywhere else. So, yeah, to full circle, I think China is definitely in play longer term, and especially if we have a little bit of a shortfall or pare back these yields from trendline this year in corn, it really tightens the situation up in the world. And, technicals, I'm a technical trader myself. We're in a very definite fundamental market in corn right now with the weather, and a 3 or 4 bushel swing in yields, final yields, can have a dramatic effect on the carryout.
I'm trying to think, did I see that China's imports of pork were at record levels?
Well, I think in general, and that's part of what has been propping our, I don't think they were big buyers specifically on the week of U.S. pork, but in general, yeah, they're in rebuilding phase on their pork, and they'll do it in a hurry if they have a shortfall. So it doesn't mean they'll import corn, but if they have a shortfall, they've proven in the past they're not shy about getting corn wherever and whenever they need it.
All right, so let's come back to the question at hand. Farmers sold probably soybeans, new crop, too early, but they're sold up. It's quite likely that they're, I'm going to guess, Pete Manhart, 20 to 30% sold on new crop corn. Is that right?
I've got guys that are half. I've got guys that haven't sold anything, but I would think that 20 to 30 is a fair number. And I think above $4, which we got to, and we got to, 4.10, 4.15 this week in places, that a lot of corn got sold this week.
I think 20% would be pushing it as far as most of the farmers that I've talked to. I think they've sold a little corn, but they did not push the numbers very high.
So they're waiting on more weather in the month
they're
of June
waiting on
or
weather.
July.
Yes.
Because we're still very early in the summer months.
Yes, and they sold their beans too soon, and if I sold something too soon, I'm not going to sell the other one too soon.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
And everybody I talk to pretty much says the same thing. Now, just another question. We talk about how Brazil and Argentina are going to have the beans for August-September shipment. We saw China announce that they were going to auction off beans, and that sort of went to the background. Well, are they waiting to auction those during that time frame so they don't have to pay the extreme basis levels?
Tough call. I think it's really hard when you try to figure out what game they're playing, because it's not always logical.
Yeah, the Chinese don't think in the same way that we do. So we'll just leave it at that. I just wondered if my idea was crazy or if anybody else had an opinion on it.
Okay, so what do producers do today, if anything? Maybe I'll start with you, Darren Newsom. Should they be doing anything again this week?
As the other gentlemen have pointed out, we've finally seen some profitable prices come back, or markets get back to profitable prices. I'm not going to sit and tell anybody not to sell if they can make a profit. That's just not good business. So if they want to get some locked in, do it. But keep in mind,
these markets have changed. These aren't the markets from a year ago. They're not the markets from 2 years ago, and so on. These things have a completely different structure to them now. We've got buying coming in from both sides. We've got investors coming in. We've got commercial buying coming in. It's given these markets some support. Yeah, we've seen a sell-off this week, but you know, it's no big deal. It looks big, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not. These things should go up. These things should continue to go up unless we get some sort of black swan event. And it's hard to call Brexit a black swan because we can see it coming a mile away. But that could be something that changes the direction of these markets. Right now, you know, I'm pretty comfortable saying they look like they want to continue to go higher.
So let me see if I've got this right, because it sounds to me as if, Darren, you're seriously convinced that money is coming into the commodities based on Brexit and on the idea that the United Kingdom will exit the euro.
Just the opposite, actually. Money has been coming into commodities with Brexit hanging out there, kind of like a piano hanging over their head, hanging by strings over their head. If Brexit were to occur, you'll see the money leave.
And well, that's what I'm thinking. Buy the rumor, sell the fact. Is that what you're trying to tell me? That's what I was.
No,
trying
not
to
really. This is buy while keeping an eye out for the falling piano.
But tell me why they're buying. If it's not buying because of the United Kingdom exiting the euro, then why are they buying?
They're buying because the U.S. dollar index, for all of its craziness, is actually in a long-term downtrend. It's coming down. It has been coming down. We continue to see the FOMC play these same games of, well, we're going to do this. We get to the time frame when they're supposed to announce an interest rate increase, and it doesn't happen. The last one we saw was in December. Now they're saying it could be questionable whether or not we see it this September, December. Maybe we won't see any more in 2016. Maybe it's now pushed back to 2017. The U.S. dollar index is too high compared to the rest of the global currencies. It's been coming down. What changes that is if the euro blows up. All of a sudden, the money's got to go somewhere. Yes, it could go into gold, and this is where, like I said, we could see that anomaly where both gold and the dollar index go up together. Doesn't change the fact, I mean, it could change the fact that the dollar's in a downtrend. Maybe that's what finally changes it. And as long as the dollar's in a downtrend, the investment money is going to come into commodities. We've seen crude oil rally despite global supplies that are, you know, burdensome. We've seen, you know, grains rally. We've seen, I kind of discount the livestock here right now, but we've seen most of the commodity sectors pick up and run at this point, some of them without any fundamental support whatsoever. If the Brexit occurs, that money may leave commodities, at least those commodities that really have no fundamental reason going up. At that point, I think we can see some flip-flopping going on in some of these markets, some of these sectors, until something like weather trumps again.
I think the Brexit issue is less of an influence. There's been a tremendous amount of money flowing out of the stock markets. The returns have gotten a little choppy. There's been a good run. I mean, hundreds upon hundreds of billions of dollars leaving not only our stock market, but world stock markets. Fears of interest rate fluctuations, whether they're going higher, whether they're going lower. And investors are scared, and they put their money to use in value plays. Energies, multi-year lows. Grains, multi-year lows. Cotton, some of these other soft commodities, multi-year lows. They know they're not going to lose a whole lot. It's caused a big run-up. I think a lot of it's diversification out of stocks. Brexit, you know, who knows what that's going to do to investor psychology, but I think stock market money outflows have been a large, large part of a run-up in commodities. And now we've got a fundamental story with the weather.
I would agree with that to a certain extent, but we also have to keep in mind that, you know, many of these stock markets, at least, let me put it this way, the domestic Dow Jones and some of our stock markets are still holding within, you know, shouting distance, within sight of their recent highs. They haven't really fallen too far. Now, I do agree that we've seen some global money come out. We've had a lot of problems in the European markets. We've had a lot of problems in the Asian markets and so on. So we have seen some money flow out, and it has gone into commodities, like, you know, exactly as you said. And yes, you know, do I think the Brexit could be a whole lot of nothing? Absolutely. This may be, you know, this may be this generation's Y2K, but the threat is there, the uncertainty is there, and, you know, investors simply don't like uncertainty. And if it does occur, then we could see markets get a little crazy for a little while.
Well, when there's uncertainty in Brexit in Europe, why wouldn't they bring it over here and put it in our grain that is certain?
Well, eventually, I think they will. It's going to come down to what markets do they see that have a fundamental reason. If it's going to come into commodities, what markets have some sort of fundamental reason? I could argue soybeans certainly have a fundamental reason. Corn, kind of on the cusp of that fundamental reason. Wheat, there's no fundamental reason whatsoever. Crude oil, very vague out there. I mean, the fundamentals seem so bearish that it would be difficult to imagine them building up and increasing their investment in the crude oil market. But, these are the sorts of things that they'll have to sort out. And, we'll watch the spreads and we'll watch the non-commercial positions to see how these things do play out over time.
A question here. If we turn around and get timely rains, mm-hmm. England does not exit the European Union, and conditions come on and we have trendline yields, what will our prices be this fall?
No idea. But I still think the markets, when I say that, because what I want to see is something change on the charts. I want to see a change on the long-term monthly charts. If all that happens, maybe that's what creates some sort of sell signal on the monthly charts, cash futures, whatever it might be. And at that point, we'll say, okay, there has been a shift in dynamics here. There has been a structural change in the market. At this point, we could throw any number out there for yield. We could throw any number out there for acreage and so on. We simply have no idea. The best we can do is read what the market's opinions are by continuing to track the spreads and see what they believe the situation. And right now, they believe it's going to be far tighter than what we're being told at this point.
Was last winter's lows an anomaly based on the very low price of crude oil?
No, I don't think so. What was interesting is that we actually saw, like say in the corn market, we actually saw the low established in October 2014. Then we popped up to a freak rally in June and July of 2015, and then slowly drifted back to this past winter's low. So I don't really know that they were an anomaly, and I'm not sure that they were actually tied to crude oil. In a way, they could have been loosely because the commodity sector in a whole was weak. By the time we got to January, we actually saw crude oil turn. We actually saw gold turn. So we had the metals and the energies already building bullish arguments on their long-term charts. The only key commodity that was really lacking at that point was corn. And then we got the same sort of signal in April. So it was a few months behind, but it still did the same thing. So was the low this past winter due directly to crude oil? Loosely. But that was at that same time crude oil was actually turning bullish, and there was just a lag between when it started to move and when corn started to move.
I'm going to go around the horn, Wayne Nelson. What's the most important thing for you in the marketplace at this time?
Well, I think it's going to have to be the weather forecast and seeing what we're looking at here. I think all of the outside markets are big and they are working, but it's just weather.
Pete Manhart?
I think it's weather. Hot and dry will run them up. Cooler and wet will run them down.
Do you agree with that one, Chip Nellinger?
Yeah, especially for the case of corn. I think it's all about weather. Maybe a little less so in the short run in beans. I think some outside market influence could influence that. And I'm not trying to argue with Darren. I don't disagree with what he's saying at all. The trend right now is for higher. The trend's your friend. The problem is on those monthly and weekly charts, before you get confirmation, of that trend reversing, you give up a lot of price. And so it makes it tougher from a producer standpoint in knowing what to do out here. But for sure, the trend's your friend. But, boy, that could change with, a turn to better weather here.
And Darren Newsome, unless I miss my guess, you're the outsider on this one.
Well, I will stick with the weather theme, but maybe in a different light, not necessarily for the way it could, quote-unquote, change fundamentals, because we really don't know that it's going to. I think it could be the way that changes the fund's attitude towards the markets. I think that's going to be the key. It's if we see the fund money start to leave for whatever reason, that I think is going to be big for both corn, beans, and the rest of the commodity complex.
Time to wrap it up. Let's get a final word from each of you. I think I'll start with you, Pete Manhart. What's your final thought for the day?
Final thought for the day is the Brexit. After that, what happens? And I think it's just you have to watch where the prices go and take care of your price and your grain to protect your money.
Chip Nellinger?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is if you're a producer, take your total cost, divide it by your average yield. If you're in an area that hasn't gotten rain, ratchet that yield down a little bit. Find out what your true break-even is. If we're above it, there's tools out there to have your cake and eat it too. Minimum price contracts, puts, combinations of all kinds of things to lock that margin in, that profit margin, and still have upside potential. I think that's important, especially now that we're back into profitable territory.
Wayne Nelson.
I think we've learned from the last couple of months here that we don't want to be selling option premium above or below the market very aggressively or in a 2-to-1 fashion. And I think that we are going to want to protect some things. I sort of laughed at people earlier in the year and they said, well, if you make a sale, you want to buy a call. And that always seemed like it cost too much money. But I think it's going to be more so that that's going to be the intelligent thing to do the rest of the year.
And finally, Darren Newsom.
Yeah, this will sound crazy coming from a technical analyst, but keep a close eye on the June 30th quarterly stocks numbers. Disregard most of what is heard following the release of those numbers and wait for the actual math to get done as far as what these numbers might project to as far as ending stocks. Because I got a feeling that the projections that come out after, you know, after we do the math, after we see these numbers, going to bring ending stocks quite a bit below what USDA's got pegged here in June.
Darren Newsom, of course, is with DTN, the Progressive Farmer. He's out of Omaha, Nebraska. Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana. Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. And Pete Manhart is from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Our thanks to them for joining us on this June 16 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Find our whole program online, on demand, anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.